I've prepared, you never mention him to me. These lessons were written to stimulate our concern, to make all of us that are in Christ Jesus know that we have a responsibility of teaching Christ Jesus to those that are lost. To unbelievers all over the world, we need to, we must, we've been commissioned to take the word of God, to mention Christ Jesus to those that are lost. Our scripture reading, I appreciate the brother for reading, our scripture reading is taken from Colossians 3, and for emphasis' sake, I'll go back and read. The verses are 16 and 17. I'll be reading from the New Learning Translation. It reads, "Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and admonish, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thanksgiving or with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, through him to the Father God." Today, this morning, I call on your indulgence for just a little while as we examine the words of one of the songs that we occasionally sang and did sing this morning. You never mention him to me. The song was written by James Rowe, a prolific songwriter. Some of the other songs that he wrote and that we sang are "Love Lifted Me," "Home of the Soul," "He's My King," "Looking to Thee," and many others. The song paints, you never mentioned the song, you never mentioned him to me, paints a picture of a scene before the judgment seat of God. No, there's no scripture that says that the events of this song will actually happen on that day. Of course, we know that. But imagine if it did happen. The message of this song is a challenge to each of us to carry out the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Matthew 28, 19. But let us look this morning at Mark 16 and verse 15 from the King James Version. It teaches, "And then he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach the good news of to every creature, to everybody. He that believeth and is..." "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." The Bible, the biblical concept here is that the salvation of our souls, our souls of our friends and acquaintances, our enemies, and even strangers, ought to lay heavy upon our hearts. We should, after hearing such a prolific song as we sang this morning, examine ourselves according to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5 and ask ourselves a question. Do we really care about the salvation of the souls around us? Do we care enough to share the good news of the saving power of the gospel of Christ? Romans 1 and verse number 16 from the New Learning Translation teaches, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." The song is designed to move faithful believers to share the gospel hope of salvation with all. There is no story behind the song, just a message for us to teach and admonish one another Colossians 3:16, let us notice the message of this song. We will examine the song in 4 points, and the lesson will be complete. Point number one, the song provides a reminder of the coming judgment. Verse number one reads, when in a better land before the bar we stand. The bar here means the judgment seat. We will all stand before the judge who was once our Savior and forgiver of our sins. Now he stands ready to make his ruling on our life. Yes, the coming judgment is very real. Acts 17 and verse 30 through 31 from the New Learning Translation teaches. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. To repent of their sins and then turn to him. Someone says repenting is to turn away from. Yes, that's part of it. We talked about this morning in Bible study about things that work together. Work and pray works together. Believe and be baptized works together. Work and pray is vain, being alone. But in repentance, it means when we turn away from that evil we've been living, we must turn to, somebody say God. We must turn to God. That's what repentance means. For he, the next verse reads, for he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he hath appointed, and he proved to everyone who he is by raising him from the dead. This promised day will be a great day for some and a very sad day for others. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9 and 10 teaches us that. It says, therefore it must be our goal to live in this, Montgomery, time side of life, a life well-pleasing to God. That's what we must be doing while we are still in our bodies, is living a life according to God's word, a life that will please God. For because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each of us may receive the things and we've done it in this body according to what he or she has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We shall all give account for our lives. Romans 14, 10 through 13 teaches, for every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. My friend, the song goes on to say in verse, it says, how deeply grieved our souls may be for non-compliance. How deeply grieved our souls may be if we're standing before the bar, before the judgment seat of Christ, and someone, a soul, make note that we never mention Christ to them. The souls of our family members, our neighbors, our enemies should be of great concern to us. It should grieve us that anyone's soul may be lost, especially when we consider how terrible their eternal destiny will be. Matthew 20 and verse number 16, according to the King James Version, teaches. So the last shall be first, and the first last. Many will be called, but few chosen. It is a Bible truth that most souls will reject the truth. The way of destruction is described as broad and heavily traveled. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Many will be lost, but not all. There are honest souls that are searching for the truth. Men like Cornelius, men like the Ethiopian eunuch, and others, other honest heart that readily receive the truth. Souls like the Philippian jailers, Lydia, the Samaritan woman, and the disciples of John in Ephesus, who when they heard the truth concerning the Christ, received it to God's glory and to their salvation. Our task is to find the lost souls and to teach them the gospel of Christ. God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse number 16, teaches, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Question that I pose before you today is, why aren't you, why am I not carrying out the Great Commission? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." Examine yourself, Brother Stone. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Is that why you're not telling your neighbors? Is that why you're not telling your coworkers about Christ Jesus? Do you and I see an urgency in reaching the lost and to teach Christ Jesus to them? Yes, there is an urgent need for us to teach Christ Jesus to everyone. Why, Brother Stone? Jesus hadn't come in over 2,000 years. We got time. That's not necessarily so. If we died today, the judgment for us would be today. Because as a tree falleth, that's the way it's going to be raised. When we die, if we die in our sin, how would we be raised? Somebody say, in our sins. That's exactly right. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 11 from the New Learning Translation teaches. Because we understand our fit for responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Colossians 1 and verse 28 and 29 from the King James Version teaches concerning Christ. Christ who is manifested in the Colossians' lives. Before I start to read that, I ask a question of you today. After you've examined yourself, can you readily say that Christ is made known in your life? Can someone walk up to you and make a true statement and say, "You are a Christian"? Can they, James Williams? Can someone walk up to you and say, "I know that you are a Christian. I can tell by your mannerism that you are a Christian"? What would you have to say to them? "You're lying." We must let Christ live in us in order that others can see Christ in us. Christ is big. If he's in us, he's going to come out. Verse number 28 of Colossians 1. Christ whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. Present every man perfect. Present every man perfect where? In Christ Jesus. That's the only way that we are going to be presented perfect, is to be in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that our loved ones, our neighbors, are going to be presented perfect at the day of judgment. Is to be where? In Christ Jesus. We must teach them concerning Christ Jesus and the need to be baptized into Christ Jesus. This is where salvation is. This is where perfection is. It's in Christ Jesus. Whereunto, well, that is why I labor striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. If any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mention him to me. Let's go back to the self-examination. Do you have any relative? Do you have any classmates that have passed within the last year that you never mention Christ to? You'd examine yourself. You examine yourself, Brother Stone. In Acts 20, in verse 26 and 27, Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Among the things he told them was this. In Acts 20, in verse 26 and 27, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure, that I am innocent from the blood of all men. For because I have not shone to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I, says Paul, am not guilty of never mentioning Jesus to any man, even to the whole counsel of God. Paul has become all things to all men, that he might be all, be by all means able to save some. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 22. Let me make that clear. Paul is not the one that's saving. It is the word of God. It is the gospel that does the saving. But it's our responsibility to deliver God's word. We must get up off our good intentions and go out and teach the word of God. So let us spread the word. Verse number 2 states, oh, let us spread the word wherever it may be heard. Mark 16 and verse number 15 is commonly known among believers as the Great Commission. Get this now. A commission is defined as an instruction, command, or duty given by a higher authority to a special group of people. God has commanded his children to strive to save the lost. It is our duty and responsibility. The Great Commission, yes, was given to the apostles, but it applies to all of us. In order for it to be fulfilled, it requires that all of us do our part. Not just the 12 men who are physically dead now. Yes, they're spiritually alive, but they are physically dead. It is up to us, we that are here and alive this day, to carry out the Great Commission. And we do this not only to save the souls of those who are lost, but to save our souls as well. An example of the Great Commission being passed on to today's disciple is written in 2 Timothy 2 in verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version. Listen closely to 2 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Did you not get it? Commit the same thing that has been given to me. You go ahead and share it with others who are able to share it with others. No, says the lay person. I'm not going to go over and teach anybody anything. I'm going to wait until Brother Branchfield's up to it. It's the preacher's responsibility to go and to teach Christ Jesus. I'm not going up to the hospital to visit anybody. It's the elder's responsibility to go up to the hospital and to teach and to visit with the sick. It's not my responsibility. They used to say you seven numbers and you got somebody. Now you have to get dial 10. Brother Stone, have you been up to the hospital yet? Have you? No. Then what are you doing? Are you overseeing me? My work? We all have a job to do. Yes, the elders. Yes, the preacher. Yes, the present minister. Yes, we all have jobs to do. Mentioning Christ Jesus, visiting the sick, pure religion and undefiled before God is this. Where are you, Dennis? To do, not say, not hear, but do. Yes, I'm in Christ Jesus. Yes, I've been baptized. I've been in the church 25 years. What have you done? Friends, we need to be watchful for those that are diligently searching for the truth. Galatians 6 and verse 10 teaches us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. John 4 and verse number 35 from the King James Version teaches. Say not ye that there are still 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. On the job, there are many people that don't know a thing about Christ Jesus. We need to cultivate, don't we? We need to go in and plant seeds of Christ Jesus in their hearts and to cultivate it. How are you going to cultivate that, Brother Stone? You cultivate it by the way that you live. Is that all right? You live in Christ Jesus all around them. It's a hotbed. They're able to see Christ Jesus in you. We ask you the question, are you and am I watchful for the lost? We must be watchful that yonder none may say, you never, Brother Stone, mention him to me. Point number 3. How do we mention Christ Jesus to the lost? Let us be reminded of the power of a godly example, a godly conversation, a godly way of life. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 2 of the New Learning Translation teaches that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. This is how we have conducted ourselves before the world and especially toward you. Let us be reminded of the example of our speech. Colossians 4 in verses number 6 of the King James Version. It teaches, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Someone in the world comes up and asks you a question concerning Christ Jesus. Someone in the world comes up and trying to hold a conversation with you, and they come up to you and you snappy and this type of thing. Is that the way Christ Jesus would do? We must draw people out of the world, not repel. Our speech, our conversation, we can draw, we can help draw men and women to Christ Jesus by the way we live. From the King James Version, Proverbs 25 and verses 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. May we never forget our quest to reach the lost. This goal is not to win the battle. Get this now. But to win the soul. This requires us to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Mark 10 and verse number 16. Friends, we must be spiritually ready to lift up Christ. If Christ is lifted up, he said, I will draw, Christ says, I myself will draw all men unto me. John 12 and verse number 32. We must lift Christ up, or else here, or else we can just imagine hearing someone in the judgment saying, you never mention him to me. We must never forget the answer we are striving to impart to the lost. The answer lies in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we must commit to them the gospel of Christ. Not our opinions. My opinion and, I don't know, $1.50 will buy 2 liters of Coke. My opinion doesn't mean a thing unless it's my opinion. It's not any longer opinion if it's based upon God's word. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 2, Paul said, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we must work day as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mention him to me. Colossians 4 and verse number 3 through 5 teaches us to work and pray, that yonder none may say, you never mention him to me. It reads, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about him, to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Do you ever pray such a prayer? God, give me many opportunities to share with the world your plan of salvation. Paul goes on to say in that is why I'm here in chains. Because Paul did not hesitate in preaching Christ Jesus, did he? Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. Work to recover the time that is lost by not speaking Christ Jesus to those that are outside the body of Christ. The chorus is constant, as a constant reminder throughout the song, that we do not want to be responsible for hindering anyone from obeying the gospel of Christ. It's impossible for the world to obey the gospel of Christ if they don't know about Christ Jesus. Is that right, James? You never mention him to me. You help me not the light to see. You met me day by day. You knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. Those that we meet day by day are our close relations. Do you hear me? Those that we meet day by day are those that we work with, those that we're married to, those that we are raising our children. You met them day by day. You knew they were astray, but you didn't take the time to mention Christ Jesus and the saving power that is in Christ Jesus to them. We are here today because someone cared enough to tell us the good news of the saving power of the gospel of Christ. We are debtors to them, and we must return the favor. Romans 1 and verse number 14. Imagine standing before the judgment seat of God, answering the deeds done and the deeds left undone in our lives. And then we hear someone say, "Brother Jimmy, you never mentioned him to me." If someone has mentioned Christ Jesus to you and you are not in the body of Christ, I implore you to come today. It's very easy. All you have to do is put fear behind you. We are very friendly people. Just come walking down that aisle and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ to be the Son of God." We will take your hand and give God your confession. You give it, your confession to God. We will baptize you into the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, today. Why today? Tomorrow may be too late. We'll be glad to baptize you, and we'll rejoice in the fact that we baptize you into Christ Jesus, giving you the same hope that we have in Christ Jesus. There's no way. Someone said you're very arrogant. Well, that's quite all right. I'm not here to make friends. I got one. I'm here to tell you the truth. There's no way you're going to heaven without being in Christ Jesus. The only way to be in Christ Jesus, the gospel teaches you unto Christ Jesus. Baptism puts you into Christ Jesus. Do you hear me? Into Christ Jesus. That's where you need to be. I know I need to be there. I'm going to wait till next week. You may not make it to next week means next Sunday. You got, 6-7 days there between there. You may not make it to this afternoon. I may not make it. Let me tell you something. I'm not in a hurry to die, but I don't care. If I die this evening, it's all right. Is that all right? But I want to make certain that I do all I can to get everyone that will hear the word of God to help them get into the body of Christ, because to be outside the body of Christ, to die in your sin, means that you are condemned. You need to be in Christ Jesus where salvation is. Some of us that are in Christ Jesus are not living a life that's well-pleasing to God, but sometimes we fall short. We need to repent. We need to turn away from whatever we're doing wrong and turn to Christ, turn to God, to live a life that's well-pleasing to him. God has the plan of salvation for our souls. We must hear and believe the gospel. Romans 10 and verse number 17, we must repent of past sins. Luke 13 and 3, we must then come confess that Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10 verse 32 and 33, then we must be baptized into the body of Christ. This for remission of sin. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. When we come up from the watery grave of baptism, we must come up a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new spiritual person that will live faithfully even unto death. If we can would do this, then we will receive a crown of light. Don't just focus upon the crown that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a physical crown when we can receive pride and walk around and brag or boast. I'm talking about the eternal life. That's our crown, is eternal life. That's what we want, isn't it? Eternal life is what this, that's our goal. I'm going to ask you to stand at the conclusion of our song of invitation. Then if you have need of prayer in some way, then make it known. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you that you'll be able to overcome whatever spiritual or physical needs you have. Then someone may be in the audience today that desires baptism, has been properly taught, and desires to be in the body of Christ so that they'll have hope of eternal life. Whatever your need is, we're going to ask you to stand. We're going to ask our song leader to lead us in the song of invitation.